Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin First Half 2008 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to everybody to the conference call. I will make a very brief comment to the results, and then Andrea will go through in detail of all the financials for the quarter. First, I would like to start with a comment on the strategic acquisition that DiaSorin has finalized on July 9. I'm referring to the acquisition of the Biotrin Group. Biotrin is a relatively small company, around 10 million euros in revenue. Very profitable. And it is a company that owns a lot of know-how and intellectual property when it comes to a specific disease, the parvovirus, which we deem strategic to complete our product portfolio related to infectious disease. Today, Biotrin is generating 10 million euro in sales, mainly using ELISA technology and a network of distributors. It is very clear that our first objective will be to turn all the sales from the distributors directly to our own subsidiaries, and the effort is already ongoing. We believe that it is going to take between one and two quarters to turn the first important markets like Germany from distribution to direct. We envision that we will not have to spend additional money in sales and marketing efforts. So conversion from transfer price to distributor to end user will go directly to the bottom line of the DiaSorin Group. The second effort, which will start in the beginning of September, will be the development on the LIAISON platform of the parvovirus products. It will be two products for IgG and IgM determination. And we believe that the two products will be available for launch in Europe within the following 12 months. Last but not least, we deem this acquisition strategic because of a license agreement that Biotrin holds from the NIH in the U.S. concerning products to monitor the effectiveness of the papillomavirus vaccination. You know that with the approval in the U.S. and in Europe of vaccines for papillomavirus, this area is becoming very hot, and we believe that there will be an opportunity to launch a product within the next three to six months for papillomavirus for pre- or post-vaccination determination, and we believe that is a very good opportunity for the group. Now, going back now to the results of the DiaSorin Group, we will report strong growth also in quarter two in all the main geographies, notwithstanding the impact of the dollar effect. You will see that we have increased revenues in quarter two by 14%, and it would have been almost 19% at constant exchange rate. We have installed worldwide 120 additional LIAISONs that, together with the 90 LIAISONs installed in quarter one, will total 200 LIAISONs in the first two quarters, in line with what we have projected. Now, a brief comment on the geographies. U.S. continues to make a lion's share in our growth opportunity. In U.S. dollars, our U.S. operation grew by 35% compared to same quarter last year. In euros, the growth is reduced to 17%, but still very strong growth driven in the U.S. by the continuous adoption of vitamin D testing by the medical community. In all the other geographies, the European geographies, the growth has been over 11%, driven by the success of the infectious disease product line, the continued growth of the infectious disease product line, and some specialty products that have been introduced in the last few quarters. And finally, when it comes to distribution, we are experiencing a strong growth in certain geographies. Russia continued to grow substantially after we received approval of all the Liaison products, and we have initiated operations in Russia at the beginning of the year. Last but not least, you will see that we will have a record EBITDA result for this quarter. On an adjusted basis, we went over 35% EBITDA for the quarter. Now we'll turn then to Andrea. Andrea will go through all the financials, and then we're going to take the Q&A session.
Thank you, Carlo. Good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. What I'll do, as usual, I will take you through the quarter two results, starting from a top analysis of the P&L and then going into further detail, and then a quick glance on the cumulative results of the first half year. So if you start from slide number one, where you have the representation of the profit and loss accounts for the quarter, compared with the same quarter of last year, you can see that our revenue, we are reporting revenues just shy of 60 million for the quarter, exactly 59.6, with a growth of 14.1% versus previous year. Now, as Carlo mentioned, this performance has been affected and delivered despite of the negative effect of the devaluation of the US dollar, which has been particularly strong in the second quarter. And at constant exchange rate, the growth rate would have been 19%. Now, in terms of gross profit, we are reporting 38.8 million versus 34.4, with a slight decrease of the percentage of sales of the gross profit, which I will come back in more detail in a couple of slides. The operational expenses, so the structural cost of the group, have been growing very little versus previous year, 3.4%, and this has delivered to all the operating margins a significant leverage. If you look at the EBIT and the EBITDA, adjusted for the non-recurring items that in 2008 are represented by about half a million of costs which have been sustained for the support to the acquisition Carlo mentioned a few minutes ago, and in 2007 were, as you will remember, related to mainly to the IPO costs. So if you look at EBIT, ex exceptional items, on an adjusted basis, we are reporting an EBIT growth close to 30%, with a percentage of sales which have moved up by 3.5 percentage points from 25.7% to 29.2%. At EBITDA level, we are reporting an EBITDA growth of 23.4% versus the similar quarter of previous year, with a movement as a percentage of sales from 32.5% to 35.2% in the quarter. Last but not least, if you look at the net results of the quarter, we are recording a growth of the net results by 45% from 7 million of last year to 10.1 million. Now, if you turn this slide to the next one, the drivers of the growth of the top line, I have already mentioned the first point, which is the effect of the exchange rate. I would basically mention that the growth remains driven and keeps being driven by the enlargement of the Liaison install base. In the quarter, we installed about 120 Liaison. If you remember, in quarter one, we installed about 90. So the total install base at the end of June globally is 2,280 instruments. We continue leveraging the Liaison install base, therefore we continue recording an increase of the revenues per box. And as you will see in a slide, the US and the European markets are mainly driving the growth in the quarter. If you look at the development by technology, if you remember the breakdown between RIA, ELISA, CLIA and the rest, our revenue continued to be driven by the CLIA expansion. Again, in this quarter, liaison sales have grown by 30% versus the similar quarter of 2007. And this has further shifted the weight of the liaison within our product portfolio. CLIA accounted for just above 50% in 2007. In quarter 2008, it accounts for 57.3%. If we look at the geography on slide number four, as I mentioned, Europe and North America are clearly driving the growth as well in the quarter as the rest of the world. In Europe, I just want to, which has grown by close to 12%, I just want to mention a few countries which have significant performance. France is growing by close to 14%. Belgium is close to 10%. The Nordic countries are growing, almost doubling their turnover versus previous year. And then if you look at the markets where we are not directly present, the third-party distributors market are growing by 61.6%, driven also by a significant contribution from the Russian market, where we have opened a new distribution channel just this year. I believe Carlo has already commented on the performance in the U.S., so in North America, plus 16.8% as reported, but plus 35.6% if you use comparable exchange rate. In the rest of the world, I want to mention the two most recent initiatives. Israel is growing 54% versus a similar quarter of previous year. Mexico is growing more than 30%. And I also want to particularly mention Brazil. As you remember, Brazil in quarter one was basically flat in the wake of a delayed tender assignment. The tender has now come through and we have begun delivering in the quarter, and Brazil versus previous year is now growing at close to 20%. If we now come to the analysis of the profitability, if you look at the operating margins, they continue to improve. EBITDA, as we said, has moved on a restated basis from 32.5 to 35.2, and EBIT from 25.7 to 29.2 as a percentage of turnover. And this performance has been delivered despite of slightly lower gross margins versus Q2 07. First of all, I want to mention that the improvement in the margin continues. If you look at quarter one 2008, we are recording in quarter two an improvement of 50 basis points. And the performance versus the quarter one of 2007 has to be analyzed in light of two items which are of a temporary nature in our view. First of all, last year we reported an exceptional event which was due to the different accounting treatment of the living indemnity in the Italian market, which improved on a temporary basis, or sorry, on an exceptional basis, on a one-off basis, the gross margin second quarter of 07 by 40 basis points. Furthermore, in the second quarter of 2008, as you may remember from the conference call of the first quarter, we continued to register an increase in the cost for royalties, which is mainly due to the renegotiation of an important supply contract for PCT. And last but not least, I have to mention that for the first time in the second quarter and the first half, because of the significant increase of exposure in US dollar on the US market, the exchange rate effect is hitting us not only in absolute amount, but also on a percentage margin basis. Below the gross margin, as I mentioned before, continues, however, the operating leverage on the structural cost of the company, which have delivered a significant improvement in EBIT and EBITDA. Now, if we glance quickly the first semester results, they basically mirror the performance that I already mentioned for the quarter. Net revenues, we closed June with a cumulative 116 million euros, a growth of close to 14%. Again, the growth rate is influenced negatively by the exchange rate, which accounts for a little more than 4 percentage points. At comparable exchange rate, the growth would have been close to 18.5%. The gross profit has grown by 13.5%. The gross margin, if you adjust for the exceptional event that I mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, is in line with previous year, and we continue the leverage on the operational expenses, which have reduced in the first 6 months of the year. They have reduced the incidence of the turnover by 2 percentage points. If you look at EBIT, again, adjusted for the non-recurring item, EBIT has been growing by almost 24%, moving from 26.8 million in 2007 to 33.1 million in 2008. EBITDA, again adjusted, we have recorded 40.2 million in the first semester, 34.5% over the turnover, with an improvement of close to 150 basis points versus previous year. Last but not least, the net result for the first 6 months will be 20.3 million, growing again almost 50% versus previous year. If you move to slide seven, again, the development of the breakdown by technology mirrors what I just mentioned about the second quarter. In the first 6 months, LIAISON has grown by more than 30%, and it now represents 57% of the sales of the first 6 months. By geography, I would add to the comments that Carlo made before. In the U.S., the cumulative growth is 38% at comparable exchange rate. If you remember what we've been doing in the previous quarter, this is now the third quarter in a row while the U.S. market grows on a similar rate, clearly driven by the development of vitamin D. In the rest of the world, aside from the two recent initiatives that I mentioned before, I would like to point out the contribution of the third-party distributed markets, which have been growing the first half year by almost 19%, driven particularly by performance in China and in Australia. Again, profitability, we mentioned and we commented it before, is continuously improved, driven by the improvement of the industrial margin of the mix of products, so the premium prices offered by LIAISON products, by continuous leverage on the installed base, only partly mitigated by the effect that I mentioned before in terms of royalties and exchange rate. This is reflected all down the line to the operating margins. If you move to slide 10, that offers an overview of the balance sheet as of the 30th of June of 2008. Our net capital employed in June is 142 million. This is financed by equity for 132.6 million and a net debt of 9.4 million. I have to mention that within the 9.4 of net financial indebtedness, 5.5 million are represented by dividends, which have been resolved by the board, but not paid until the 19th of July. Therefore, they do figure in this first half year as a financial debt. If you take out those dividends from the net financial position, you would be left with a net debt of 3.9 million, which compares with the 12.1 million at the end of 2007. The cash at the end of the period in the hands of the group is 14.1 million. The performance of cash clearing has been driven by the operational cash flow, 8 million in the first half year, having invested 6.3 million in CapEx and having paid out interest for 1.6 million. In the first six months of 2007, the operational cash flow was 4.3 million and interest were at 1.8 million. I already commented on the net debt and the net financial position and also on the cash position at the end of the year. In terms of the net financial indebtedness, I just want to add that as of the next quarter, you will see a different position because the Biotrin acquisition has been financed entirely with debt. So we have paid out a total consideration of just above 25 million euros, and you will find a similar reflection into our net financial position as of next quarter. Last but not least, if you look at the forthcoming events of the company, we will meet the financial community on September the 3rd and the 4th at the Goldman Sachs Annual European MedTech Conference. And on September 22nd and 25th at the UBS Global Life Conference in New York. That's all for me, and I would like to open up the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Congratulations on another great quarter. Can I start by just getting a little bit more color on how we should be thinking about Biotrin going forward? You talked about 10 million euros in revenue, which would suggest we should add, what, 5 million to the 2008 forecast? And can you give us some sense of what bringing distributors in-house could mean for 2009 revenue? Could you also talk about incremental profitability and obviously also the tax rate, given that it's Irish and you enjoy low taxes there? Also give us a sense of what physical assets you've acquired apart from the IP around parvovirus. Thank you.
Now, let me just comment on this. When it comes to additional revenues for 2008, it's going to be, you're right, I think it's going to be 5 million from total, yes, from July, from the time of acquisition through December. If you look at the sales of the company, they have a little bit over $5 million in the U.S., then they serve the market direct, and then the rest of the sales, they have, let me say, a little bit over 1 million direct in France through a subsidiary, and the rest are all done through distribution. So you may assume that distributors usually carry a 40% margin. So just turning those sales to direct should have an impact, which is estimated to be around 3 million on additional 3-4 million of additional revenues. When it comes to the intellectual property, Biotrin has an intellectual property, a long-lasting patent in the U.S. that will protect the business throughout 2017, if I'm not wrong. They have a European patent that will expire in 2010, and by then, we will have developed the Liaison version of the product, and therefore we believe that we are going to defend the position anyway with the first automated Liaison parvovirus.
Can you talk a bit about profitability of Biotrin in your organization? You made some comments that you can sell through your existing sales organization. Also, could you talk about what other assets, other than the intellectual property you acquired with Biotrin?
Sorry, Martin. When it comes to the profitability of the company, the company has, let me say, if you do running 12 months and you exclude any extraordinary cost that the company took in 2008. We have estimated that the company has an EBIT around 3 million euros. You know, and I know very well about the tax rate in Ireland. So underneath that EBIT, there is a 12.5%, and then everything else goes down to the net income. Other than the intellectual property, if we comment on asset that we purchased, as I mentioned before, the other relevant asset the company has is an exclusive worldwide license from the NIH on the use of a recombinant protein or the part of the papilloma virus strain 16. And as you know, the vaccine companies today have developed vaccine with strain 16 and strain 18. So we would be in a position, the company would be in the position to develop exclusively a product to detect whether vaccination, whether a patient should be vaccinated, and after vaccination, whether the patient has responded to vaccination. Therefore, we believe that this would be a great potential market to expand the operation in infectious disease area of Diasorin.
Okay. Can you just remind me of what other extraordinary costs we'll see in 2008 in relation to this acquisition beyond what we've already seen?
I think that the additional one would be a stamp duty, which should fall into, in the third quarter, around 280,000 euro.
Okay. Coming back to your results ex Biotrin, which are obviously very impressive, what does that mean for how we should be thinking about the rest of the year? I mean, obviously the first half you've done 160 million euros. I know Q3 is always your weakest quarter, but if consensus, let's say, is ex Biotrin is around about 225, 226 million euros. Or the revenue line, is that putting pressure on that? And then, of course, what does it mean for our profitability in 2008?
Listen, Martin, I'll take this. I believe if you remember the guidance that we normally give, we always tell you that, tell you guys that we estimate an improvement all down the line close to 100 basis points per year on average for the next 3 years. Now, it is clearly that this forecast is now heavily affected and positively affected by the performance of the vitamin D market, because vitamin D is an assay with a strong profitability, with a profitability above the average. So whilst I would continue to envisage an improvement at gross margins of about 100 basis points, I do believe that down the line it will reflect at least in the double performance at EBIT and EBITDA level. This is our current estimate of the end of 2008. As far as Biotrin is concerned, we will consolidate their results only from the closing date and started with the quarter three results. That will mainly exclude the impact of exceptional costs incurred in Biotrin prior to the acquisition.
Sorry, so can you clarify the precise closing date, sorry?
The closing date was the 9th of July. We will consolidate Biotrin results, so from revenues down to net profit, after that date and starting with quarter three reported results.
Okay.
So the effect of Biotrin on the results of Diasorin as compared to the usual consolidation area will not significantly affect it, with the exception of the net profit. Because, as you know, in Ireland we got a corporate tax of 12.5%, whereby the average of the group today is 37%. So that will be an effect which will be reflected onto our accounts. Now, it is very difficult for me now to give a precise indication, because Biotrin is reporting, as you know, according to Irish GAAP, and we are currently in the process of translating Irish GAAP into IFRS.
Okay, just getting a sense of how your business is going in Q3, but also where it could be going longer term. And one question we're asking every company at the moment is, are you seeing any pressures either on the consumable side or perhaps more relevantly on the instrument side as a result of the economic slowdown in the United States? Are you people buying fewer instruments? Are you having to placing more and selling less because people can commit to consumables? I mean, are you seeing any impact? What do you expect to see?
No, we don't see an effect in the U.S. In the traditional business, nor clearly we see it on vitamin D. Vitamin D, as you know, the demand, the clinical use is increasing very rapidly, so does not suffer from any slowdown of the economy, nor is linked to the consumer habits.
Okay, when do you expect competition in the vitamin D market over and above the existing competition from mass spec that already exists, i.e. when do you expect a competitor test such as the Roche test to arrive now?
I have no idea, because I don't have a crystal ball. The only thing I know is that I think competition is already there. As you know, the two largest labs today, LabCorp and Quest, one is using a DiaSorin product and the other one is using an in-house mass spec. There has been a lot of controversial data presented at the AACC a couple of weeks ago about the use of mass spec. Mass spec is an homebrew test, and the FDA has a position on homebrew testing when licensed products are available, so we continue to put pressure on customers to adopt our test. When it comes to Roche, I cannot comment. We have no news when it comes to their approval in the U.S. We know that we have not seen them much around the world where they've already been distributing their product for almost 1 year. When it comes to the other companies, everybody says that they are working on it, but we haven't seen much, so I have no idea.
Okay, well, I'd better leave it for the time being and let someone else ask some questions. Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question is from Mr. Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody. First of all, a clarification. I understand correctly, you expect a margin improvement of 200 basis points for 2008. That's the first question. Secondly, if you can expand a little bit on revenues per box, they seems to be very high in Q1. What do you expect for the rest of the year, and can you explain what's going on there? And the third question is on the impact of the foreign exchange on the gross profit. If you can go a little bit more in detail on that, seems to me that it's not just an exchange rate issue, but it's the fact that your sales in US are probably growing stronger than you were expecting at the beginning of the year. Thanks.
Hello, Massimo. I'll take your question. First of all, yes, you understood right. We expect a 100 basis point improvement at gross margin versus the average of 2007. And as I said, we expect 200 basis points at operating margins improvement. Your second question was about the revenue per box. I believe I already answered in the similar fashion in quarter one. Yes, indeed, we have a very high revenue per box indicator in the first 6 months. On top of my head, it should be close to 60,000 euros. But as I did last time, I always have to warn you not to use that average to project the full year. The full year will show an improvement versus previous year, but it's not going to be 60,000 euros per machine on average. It is also clear that the revenue per box is strongly driven by the placement of liaisons with vitamin D, which have a very high throughput per machine. Last but not least, your question on exchange rate. If you look at our margins of 2008, the exchange rate effect on the dollar is now affecting the gross margin by about 20 basis points versus the previous year.
If I have to comment on the total effect or a total exposure on US dollar that we currently carry, this has significantly increased versus what we said related to 2007. If you remember, we said that at EBIT level, the balance between revenues and cost in US dollar was leaving us exposed at the EBIT level for 1.6 million on a 10% devaluation of the dollar. If you think about the devaluation in the first 6 months, which has been 15%, we are now looking at a 2.2 million or a 4 million on a yearly basis exposure. So a 15% accounts for about 4 million euros less at EBIT level.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Stéphane Souma of Exane. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Stéphane Souma from Exane. I've got just a quick question regarding what you have just mentioned on the operating margin. Just to make sure that I have clearly understood, you are mentioning that instead of having a 100 basis point improvement compared to last year, I mean restated, you are now anticipating 200 basis improvement in operating margin?
Yes.
Yes, so the basis for last year, what do you consider? Do you consider we are speaking of the restated operating margin?
Yes.
I mean, last year it was almost 25%. I am right?
We are always speaking about adjusted indicators. So that is true for EBIT as well as for EBITDA.
Okay.
Adjusted
and
EBIT. Okay.
Right. And the 100% improvement was on EBITDA? I didn't really catch what you've said. That's why I'm asking the question.
I said that both at EBIT and EBITDA, we will record an improvement of 200 basis points.
Okay. And what about going forward? Because your initial guidance was a 100% improvement over the next 3 years. Obviously, we have already achieved your implicit guidance, which was more or less 28%. Can we expect this trend to continue? I mean, this 100 basis point improvement?
I will take the question. I think that, as André explained, the overachievement has been driven by vitamin D. We would like to keep going forward our original assumption, which is 100 base points per year. We don't feel comfortable about extending this improvement. We believe that vitamin D today, the way the market grows, is completely outside the control of the company. And as it has been said before, competitors may arise and market conditions may change. I remind you that vitamin D to us today represents around 20% of our turnover. Therefore, it's still relatively marginal when it comes to the total revenues, although we cannot expect that it will continue to grow at this rate. So in a very pragmatic way, my recommendation would be just to use 100 base points, as we stated before.
Okay, and I've got another question regarding, you know, the change in the royalties agreement you have mentioned. Could we expect some other new contract being signed over the next few months, which will be done obviously in less favorable condition for you?
No, this is a contract with a company called Brahms.
Yes,
which was signed 11 years ago. The original contract actually was signed by Big Gulden, so not by us. The original contract would have been expired in 2009. We renegotiated the contract, but the favorable terms, which were negotiated 10 years ago, were not renewed. PCT,
okay,
as you know, is a license which has been given by Brahms to many companies, including bioMérieux, including Roche, at certain conditions. And so our conditions have been leveled to market conditions. We don't foresee any other renewal of royalties or licensing from anybody else.
Okay, and just to come back on this margin story, so you have achieved more or less 28% operating margin in H1. You are gaining more or less on 27% over the full year. Why do you expect an erosion in profitability in H2?
Because, Stefan, if you look at the historical performance of the company, you will find that in the second half of the year, revenues are slightly lower than in the first half, and therefore you have a leverage effect on the operating expenses and on the installed basis, which is certainly lower than what you have witnessed in the first half.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Just to come back to the full year 2008 revenue point, forgetting about Biotrend for a second, were you expecting anything different this year on the revenue trends in the second half versus the first half versus previous years? Or should we just assume that it's a similar proportion to what we've seen in 2007?
I think you could assume the proportion.
Good. In terms of machine placements, obviously that's 210 machines placed this year, if I can add up. Typically you talk about 400 a year. Any change in that guidance? I think you will see the typically slower Q3 will see you coming out around about the 400 level, because just 120 seemed like a big number in the second quarter.
No, we project 400. We get close to 400 systems as projected at the beginning of the year.
And how are you tracking on that in Q3? Because I guess you're not going to place an awful lot in, you'll place fewer in August. How is it tracked in July?
We are tracking good, Martin.
Okay. Just so I understand the margin point, you think you will add 100 basis points to your operating margin in 2009, just to be absolutely clear on that?
Yes.
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, last time I did a question on PC at the end of Q1. You announced Biotrend soon after, so I'll try again. What's your position on the M&A side? Are you still looking for something which could be very similar as a concept to Biotrend? So basically buying technology and not that much sales, or is it any different? And are you seeing prices and multiples going down following the stock market?
Sorry, Massimo. I don't know if you broke up, but the first question is about M&A activity. We always stated that we are very logical in our M&A activity. We are looking for companies that are adding portfolios to products or give us a chance, like Biotrend, to move technology from older technology to the liaison and gain in price and so in profitability. I think the Biotrend acquisition was the perfect example of this strategy, because it's a small company. Is easy to integrate in the group, very profitable itself, and allow us even more profitability going forward. When it comes to M&A activity, as I stated, we are looking into opportunities. The company can stand more leverage. But again, we don't rush. We will never rush, because we have everything we need to continue to grow as we have done in the past. When it comes to multiples and evaluation of the stock, you know, if I knew that answer, I think I would be home buying and trading with my computer. I have no idea.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have a follow-up question from Stefan Suma of Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, hello, that's Stefan again. I've got a follow-up question on vitamin D. I was wondering what was the contribution, what would have been your operating margin if we exclude the contribution of vitamin D?
I don't think that we look at our business that way, so we have not done this calculation, and it's very difficult to do, because with the exception of the US, in all other countries, vitamin D is sold as a package. So I think
Carlos, what did you say? In all other countries, vitamin D is sold,
as a package. So the US is the only market in the world, as we speak, where the vitamin D frenziness is driving single placement of boxes in a strategy to go to central lab as well as to the periphery with the Cardinal in the physician office labs. In all other countries, vitamin D is part of a package, so we sell it with all the other products, and we look at overall profitability of the box placement.
But just to check, but if I do a back of the envelope calculation, if I consider that you are realizing 20% of your sales with vitamin D, can't we assume that the operating margin on these sales are 35%, or I'm wrong?
I don't know. How do you do this?
The purpose of my question was just to get a sentiment of what is the contribution at the operating level of vitamin D.
Listen, as I told you, we don't look at the business this way. Clearly, vitamin D is a high contribution, but by the same token, since vitamin D is sold a lot in the U.S., is the product that suffers a lot from the exchange rate effect. So,
okay.
I think the calculation is more complicated than what you think.
Okay, so we can expect a positive impact next year, as the currency environment is becoming probably a bit more stable.
Yeah, as Andrea told you, at this stage, as we are today, at a 10% or 15% reevaluation of the dollar would give us 4 more million at the EBIT level.
And most is on vitamin D, I guess.
Not necessarily, because you have vitamin D, and then you have vitamin D in the U.S. Represents a little less than 50% of the total turnover. You have all the rest.
Vitamin D in the U.S., what did you say?
Represents a little less than, between RIA and the other technologies and the liaison, represents a little less than 50% of the turnover today. All the rest are the other products.
Yeah. And what percentage of growth?
Sorry, say it again.
And what was the and if we look at the growth in the U.S., what was the percentage explained by vitamin D? I remember in Q1 it was a quite high figure, so I guess that it is more or less the same thing in Q2.
It's a high figure, Stefan, but we are going into information that I consider I really don't want to release or make public, because I think that there is competition out there. Eh?
Okay. Thank you very much, Carlos.
You're welcome.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Martin Weiss of UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello again. So vitamin D is driving placements and sales of boxes in the United States. How can you exploit that in terms of getting more consumables on those boxes? What are you missing at the moment that's not enabling you to do that? Because it sounds like it is entirely vitamin D that's going through a lot of these instruments in the United States. When will you be in a position to more fully exploit it in terms of getting more consumables through those boxes, through those instruments?
Martin, what is happening in the U.S. Today for vitamin D is that the majority of the consumption of the testing is in the central laboratories. And for us, it would be LabCorp, who is our number one customer when it comes to vitamin D, ARUP, which is our number two customer, and a small number of large reference labs. So the impact of the vitamin D in the U.S. Is not necessarily on placements, on liaison placements, but the impact is that the throughput of the liaisons installed in the U.S. market is just going through the roof, because the usage of these tests in the central laboratory, which is very efficient, they work on three different shifts, so they maximize the throughput on these boxes. And this is affecting heavily the group average. And this is why Andrea is telling, is warning you not to use the 60,000 as the average, because that is affected by an over-usage in the U.S. market, which is diluted when you place more boxes at the more regular conditions outside the U.S. market.
Okay, well, let's just ask a more general question then. How, in what time frame will you have a appropriate product offering in the U.S. to, in terms of tests, to exploit Liaison more fully in terms of consumables away from vitamin D? What are you missing in, say, your anti-infectives set of tests in the United States? And when will that be there, and when can you exploit that?
Today we have our infectious disease sales have just doubled quarter on quarter compared to last year, and they continue to increase in the U.S. market. We have the remaining infectious disease products at the agency, and as we have stated, we expect that they will be the approval will be granted by year end. So I expect that we will start 2009 with a full and complete menu of infectious disease on the box. So the impact on the growth of the infectious disease will be more significant in 2009. Keep in mind that, as I stated before to Sumar, today vitamin D is a combination of RIA and Liaison represent less than 50%. The remaining 50%, vast majority, is infectious disease in more traditional technologies already today. So we have a base of infectious disease business in the U.S. market.
Okay, thanks very much.
Welcome.
Excuse me, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much, everybody.